I was going to say, in 32 years, we're going to talk in a few minutes about what all that includes, but
yeah,
that's a lot of suit wearing.
It's a lot of suit wearing. I've had lots of suits. I don't know what it's like not to have a suit. I don't have a pair of slacks in my closet. I have blue jeans for the off days and suits. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to kind of get a new wardrobe, if Linda's listening out there, you know.
FYI, get your shopping shoes on.
Get my shorts and my slacks on board.
I want to, I mean, I can't even imagine what the kind of world looks like for you. Because as you said, the first time that you won't have it, I'm going to use the word responsibilities.
Right.
Obviously, that is all within reason. But your family's grown. Your wife's now retired as well. Mm-hmm. You talk about these open-ended opportunities to literally go, I don't know what I'm going to do today, but that's the great thing. I'm going to go figure it out. Mm-hmm. For some people, when they say retirement, that automatically means they're going to go fishing, or that means they're going to go traveling, or maybe it means they're going to spend more time with their grandkids sitting at their house. Mm-hmm. Do y'all have any kind of plan? Is there a next immediate step, or is it really that open-ended that you're just going to go and, well, we're here today and we'll figure out where we're going to be in 2 months?
That's exactly what it is. It's that open-ending. I mean, ended. Obviously, want to see some of my grandkids. But, you know, grandkids have things to do. They're busy. So we'll do some of that. If I had to play golf every day, I'd shoot myself. If I had to fish every day, I'd shoot myself.
Okay.
And so,
not your cup of retirement tea.
No, it doesn't mean that I won't play golf some.
Right.
It doesn't mean that I won't fish some. It does mean, though, however, that you've got to have a purpose in life, and I don't know what that purpose is.
Right.
We've got lots of opportunities, but when that purpose comes across my desk, whatever that desk may look like,
right,
you know, 2 weeks from now, then we can say yes to that opportunity or no to that opportunity. And it's the first time in our lives that we've been able to do this. So we're really looking forward to that. It's scary for us. Scotty Holloman, who is a great friend of mine, serves as the college attorney, said to me about 2 months ago, Steve, have you had the retirement talk with your wife? And I'm thinking, what is the retirement talk?
Nobody's told me about this.
Nobody's told me about it. He said, you know, have you asked her what she wants to do? And I said, no, Scotty, I haven't. He said, well, has she asked you what you want to do? And I said, no, she hasn't. So we had the retirement talk, and I asked her what she wanted to do, and it pretty much aligns with what I want to do, and that is nothing for a while, and then when we know it, we'll know it.
And how beautiful, again, is that opportunity to just kind of ride the wave?
Absolutely. I've never been able to ride the wave.
Yeah. Let's start back 32 years ago.
Whoa.
I know. That's been a day or so.
Mm-hmm.
A suit or two ago.
A suit or two. Or 10.
What did you start out as here at New Mexico Junior College?
Well, you know, I had a lot of people don't understand that I've been in higher education for 40. That sounds really old. 40 plus years. Had a great career at Lubbock Christian University in Lubbock, Texas. Never wanted to leave, but needed to for a lot of different reasons. And then I was at the University College of the Southwest then for about 4.5 years.
That.
Yeah. Okay. So I had 12 years of higher education experience before I came here. Had the opportunity a couple of times to come here. Looked at this college as, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. At the time, there was a man by the name of Bruce Evans who was the president of USW, and I would not leave because of my loyalty to Bruce Evans. But when he left, I took the opportunity to come here, and I was a young faculty member, and I was actually the facility coordinator of Castor Activity Center, and then I did all the corporate fitness programs, and it's kind of how I cut my teeth here. And then the opportunity eventually came up to move from that role into the athletic director, into the dean's role, and then eventually into the president's role for 18 plus years. So I've been at the college longer as the president than any other position that I've held here.
And has there been another president who has sat in that position as long as you?
No.
I didn't think
so. I knew the answer to that.
I thought you
would. Only because I looked.
Okay. I bet I'm not the first one to ask, but
you're right.
I imagine that you will hold that record for quite some time.
Well, it's...
Well, at least for another 18 years.
At least for another 18 years. You know, I'm hopeful for Dr. Sharp, although I don't think many presidents will hold those positions because, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up here, to cut my teeth as a young faculty member. I say young, I really wasn't that young, but, and I'm still not that young, come to think of it. But,
I was going to say, we are going to stick with the young story.
Yeah,
we're gonna
stick
with
the young,
better.
But
yeah.
18 plus years in a position where you're on point. 365 days a year. You have to be, because it is about the institution, right, and about all of that. You got to be on point. It's just very difficult in these jobs to do that. Dr. Sharp's had a 11 year run at South Plains College, very fine. But if he makes it 11 more years, that'll be 22 years in the seat. And so I don't expect many, many people. Now, we may have somebody who's very young come in the mm-hmm. door, and they're 30, and they take this job, and they may stick break around that record. Mm-hmm. But I'm not looking for that record to be broken any day.
It's really not how the job works anymore, I would imagine.
It's about
– nobody sticks around usually in a job for that long.
Six and out mm-hmm. usually, because the energy it takes mm-hmm. – you're on a honeymoon for a couple of years, and after the honeymoon goes away, you better be on point and staying on point for 18 years. You know, most people around Lee County have been forgiving enough that they allowed me to stay on point. And when I messed up, when I really messed up, they were kind, they were kind enough to point it out gently and
right.
then remind me I shouldn't do that again, and then love me back into the fold again.
Now, so, we're laughing a little bit about that, but in all honesty, obviously, as amazing as we all think you are in 18 years of being president, I'm sure there have been a couple of hiccups.
Ooh, goodness gracious. That's an understatement.
Well, but because you're giving credit to the community for loving you back in after those maybe challenges, I believe it's also because of how you handled the challenge. Looking back over your career, what is one of those major challenges that really stands out of this was a tough go, but we made it out and we were better for it as either a college, or maybe it's you personally, or, you know, is there something that stands out in your mind of that was a tough one?
Well, you're always scared to point out moments, good or bad, because then you leave something out. And so
right.
I haven't really thought about this a lot of times. Easier to think about the bad times than right. the good times, because there's been
unfortunately,
so many good...
they do stick around longer in your head, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But I will tell you two things that come to my mind. And we used to build the budget on price per barrel of oil and price per MCF.
Right.
And
that's how the entire community works.
That's how the entire community works. I've seen friends come and go. You know the drill with mm-hmm. oil and gas. But when we were doing that, it's so easy in the good times to over budget. And so for whatever reason, we'd backed ourselves in the corner with a budget. And one of the darkest days when we had to come in and make significant budget cuts in terms of personnel.
Right.
And excuse me for getting a little emotional here, but personnel decisions where you have to cut friends and family, because they're family.
They've become that.
And either through attrition or direct layoffs, we had to cut about 10% of our staff.
Horrible.
And it just broke my day. I call it Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to do that in person, and you have to meet. And the only person who should do that is the president.
Right.
You can't send a messenger in that, and you should look those people in the eye. And it's the hardest conversations I've ever had, because some very beloved friends were placed on the chopping block. At the time, I'm sure that it was harder for them than it was me, but it broke my heart. Still breaks my heart to think about it today. But that's probably the darkest time frame, and yet we managed to get past it. The budget rebounded. Oil and gas came back. We do no longer use price per barrel of oil to budget. We learned. And so it was a very traumatic mm-hmm. experience for those people, I'm sure, much more for me, because when you lose your job, you lose your job.
Right. It affects your family. It affects
everybody.
It
affects your
right.
family. And so that was probably the darkest day. Another time when we decided to try to get in the housing business, because we couldn't find housing during one of the upswings, one of the many upswings during my
right.
period. And so we got the county and the city and everybody involved in a semi-housing project. And gee, many Christmas. That
seemed like such a good idea, though, I'm sure.
It was a great idea. We wanted to put teacherages and buy down so our faculty and staff had an affordable place to live. Shoot me if I ever do that again, please.
Lesson definitely learned, huh?
A lesson definitely learned in that one. Leave that up to somebody else who
There's
knows.
A reason why they have careers in that,
I'm
right?
I'm telling you, yeah.
And do you feel like in all of those, knowing you for as long as I have and being part of kind of the culture that you've created out here, I imagine that in all those instances, as hard as they were and as big an impact as they had, not only on the people that you affected, but on you, and we can tell how personally you were affected, do you always feel like it's that cliche, but that kind of spirit of life kind of we've learned from it and we've become better because of it. Is that true in most of those situations?
Well, if you don't, you're paralyzed personally, and it paralyzes the institution. And what everybody has to realize, New Mexico Junior College is bigger than any one person or any multiple people.
Right.
And so if you don't learn, it doesn't mean you don't wear it, doesn't mean you don't hurt from it, but you've got to move on. Otherwise, you've got 3,500 students and another 300 staff members that will have a negative impact, and so you have to move on. You always wear it, but you can't let it paralyze right. you. The minute you let it paralyze you, then you make another bad decision, and so you can't get down and cry in your I started to say beer, but I don't drink. So for my church
it would
friends,
be my beer.
crying your beer, crying my milk. That's a better deal. Okay,
that sounds good.
then all of a sudden you're hurting additional people. And so you get a chance to pout for about an hour.
Then you'd
and
have
if
to move
you,
on.
If you pout longer than an hour as the president, you will paralyze this institution and other lives. I will tell you that I think we did it gracefully. We gave those people about 6 or 7 months to find a job. We honored a contract for that, and I hate it as much as I do. We did it the right way. The board did
right.
it the right way.
Right.
But you got to move beyond. And the housing deal, gee, many Christmas, what was I thinking? You know,
like, you had good intentions, though.
I had great intentions. I pouted about that for about
I'm
a
sure.
week.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know, I got to get up and dust myself off.
Now we got to just move forward through it.
As you
it.
Know, you got to cowboy up.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you got to get back in that saddle.
And I would imagine that a lot of people would attach that mentality to your legacy. What do you personally believe, though, is the legacy that you're leaving at New Mexico Junior College?
You know, legacies are a funny thing.
It is interesting.
It is very interesting. First of all, I don't ever want to live my life where you think you're leaving a legacy, good or bad or indifferent,
okay.
because it's not really about what you think. It's about what others think of that legacy. Because no matter what you think, somebody else is, well,
has a different opinion.
Has a different opinion. What a jerk to think that. So,
right.
you know, I will tell you this. It has been an amazing job, not because I've been the president, but an amazing job because of the people.
Right.
And that's from Lee County. And I'm talking about from the northern end of the county, from Tatum, and you come this way to Lovington, to Hobbs, to Eunice and Jow. It's been an amazing group of people. An amazing staff, an amazing number of people who've rallied around the institution. And that's – we got to realize it is about New Mexico Junior College, not about a person, mm-hmm. ever about a person.
Right.
And the minute you think you're something, guess what? You're not. So
and you'll be cut down to remind
you'll
that.
Be cut down to remind because no matter what, when we start taking credit for things that we didn't do, you got to realize that there's 1,000 people and 1,000 decisions in a background that make it work.
Right.
And so I've been fortunate to be a part of a lot of lives and a lot of people who've loved on me and patted me on the back. So, you know, it's not about legacy. New Mexico Junior College's legacy in and of itself. And here's an interesting fact. A lot of people don't realize it took 10 years to get the enabling legislation from 1953 when C.M. Burke had the concept to grab people by the shirt tail and the pants and anybody he could get an audience to say, we've got to have a junior college. We need one. And in 1963, when that act, that's the legacy. It's New Mexico Junior College. And we just get to participate. We don't get to be a major player or a minor player. We're just all players. And so we all share in that. Excuse me. I'm not even choked up. I just am. Yes, I am. Okay. It's about that legacy. It's about New Mexico Junior College and the concept and the thousands of lives that initial 1953 to 63 idea and concept took place. That's an incredible effort on so many people. So for me to think that I could leave a legacy would discount every other legacy, and the legacy, whether it's Ben Alexander or C.M. Burke or Jack Daniels or anybody else who participated in that, it's New Mexico Junior College. That's what it's about.
That was actually quite beautiful. I was going to give you a whole lot of credit we believe that you have had an impact. And after 18 years as president, but 32 years, you obviously know this institution forwards, backwards. You know the history. There is so much about what you have been part of, but your answer could not have been more heartfelt and appreciated by those who I know have come before you and who have stood there with you all these years.
Thank you. Now you're going to make me cry, Lindsay.